You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. This is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 7:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us. Very nicely done, Parker. Yes, let it snow.
In case you didn't know, it's snowing, guys. I don't know if you noticed.
It is snowing. It is absolutely. We're going to talk weather here in just a moment, get an idea of what's happening around the region. But before we do that, Brian, it's officially time.
It is. This is very exciting.
It is.
It's time for our multi-state text to win contest.
Day one.
Jamie, you love rules and guidelines, so I will let
you
explain it so I don't screw it up. But I did say multi-state.
You did. Absolutely. Well. And this one's pretty easy. You're going to have multiple chances to win over the next couple of weeks and to actually get qualified for some really great prizes. You have to enter using your Civic Media app. So
we've told you.
We've tried to warn you. However, if you don't have it downloaded yet, now is your chance. You can get that for free at your Apple or your Google store because you have to enter through the app. And here's the cool thing. Over the next 10 days, we're going to be giving away a daily prize of $200 in cash.
Nice.
And you're going to also be entered to win our grand prize, which is a new mattress set from Verlo, a $1,300 value. You're going to get queen plush media mattress, the queen tensile sheets, a mattress protector, and some active dough pillows, two of them queen size, to go along with your new mattress if you're our grand prize winner. So without further ado, Brian, I will let you have the honors of giving today's first word. Again, use your app.
Right. And it's the first word. Jamie makes a key point there because the word changes every couple of hours.
Yes.
So this is the word that you can enter with until 9 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
The word will change. But the...
Until 8 o'clock.
Yes, you only do it for an hour.
You have 1 hour.
Then there will be a new word at nine o'clock.
Yes.
But for this hour, text the word early. E-A-R-L-Y. Early is the word. Use the Civic Media app. Text the word early. E-A-R-L-Y. And you will be entered for a chance to win today's prize, which is $200, and for the grand prize. And it is a multi-state text to win contest.
Yes.
Speaking of multi-states, Jamie, we do cover, Civic Media covers Minnesota, covers Michigan, covers Wisconsin. People are listening globally and entering this text to win contest from perhaps, somewhere in the Middle East when they're not dodging bombs. They're entering this. But you know, two-thirds of Wisconsin is still under a blizzard warning until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Civic Media reaches in to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And in Escanaba, that's where we find Todd Moore. He's the president and owner of Aurora Media in Escanaba, Michigan. He joins us now to talk about how things are going in the UP. Todd, thanks for being here this morning. I guess we'll just start out with how bad are things in the UP?
Well, it's pretty much whiteout still. Winds have picked up since yesterday, so can't go anywhere. Everything's closed down.
How much snow do you guys have in your area, Todd?
Well, it looks pretty close to about 2.5 feet.
Wow. I'm going.
Go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say, I'm going to say with 2.5 feet of snow, I'm going to assume that with the winds, because you do have winds up there, that's creating quite some drifts, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, once the roads get plowed, then, you know, they drift over in a short amount of time. So then you got to get back out and replow them again.
Yeah.
So, it's impossible to move.
I've been to Escanaba a few times. It's a very nice place, but a little bit remote. I know you guys are used to this kind of weather in the winter. This is nothing new. How long does it usually take in a snowfall of this magnitude to get things up and running again? Because I'm assuming schools and everything are closed today. A lot of businesses probably closed. How long until things get, quote unquote, back to normal in Escanaba?
Well, with a storm like this, I would say it would probably be a couple of days, but we're in what's called the banana belt where we're at. So we normally don't get like this much snow. because that's normally to the north of us, closer to the Superior Shore. But no, this will probably take us a good couple of days to, you know, actually get, you know, fully functional.
And I'm going to go back to something you just said, Todd. What does exactly the banana belt of Escanaba mean for people who aren't familiar with the area as far as your weather goes?
So the banana belt is an area in the southern UP that basically stretches from about Schoolcraft County into, I'd say, Dickinson County, where the weather conditions for here, especially in the winter, you get less snow and you know, precipitation here. So I don't know if that's because it's warmer, because it's basically on Lake Michigan. So we don't get as much snow as they do to the north of us in the typical, you know, UP, in the typical UP fashion. So, but we get system storms like this, and then, you know, we get buried.
Wow.
So, well, a couple days, everything's closed as... With the radio station, we gotta ask for our brothers and sisters in sound. Are you guys all remote? Are your people coming in? What's going on with Aurora Media?
So we do have live people in studio. Depends on the day part, but generally we do have live people in the studio, especially in the morning. But then generally throughout
did they
the day,
make it today?
On, yeah, I checked, and yeah, we're on.
There you go. Yeah. That's hazard pay, Todd. They're going to be hitting you up for a little more dough.
Oh, man. Yeah, don't let them know.
Well, Todd, we appreciate your time very much. We want you to stay safe. You've got some power. You said that you were surprised you still had power. We were talking to you before we went on the air. So hopefully that trend continues and everybody in Escanaba digs out and stays safe over the next couple of days here. This is the generational snowstorm is what we're calling it, Brian. But this is incredible.
I'm wondering how many busloads of seniors are stranded at the Islands Casino, because I've worked at Islands Casino a number of times, and they have bus tours, and that place is always packed with busloads of folks. Not a bad place to get stranded,
I guess.
I
was going to say, I don't know, if you've got buffets and you could just, you know, stay in a motel and go down to the slots at the tables, is it
I'm sure the casino owners are like, fantastic.
Absolutely. Parker, let's bring Maddie Schaefer in as well here. Maddie is our reporter at WBZH in Hayward. She's going to give us a little update on what's happening in the northern part of the state. So good morning, Maddie. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We are good. I'm surprised the snowshoes are still on the wall and not on your feet.
Yeah.
You're not leaving
those
the house
are the
today?
Antiques.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean,
that's
if I did, I would be taking those for sure.
How what's the situation? How bad are things in Hayward?
You know, I'd say we haven't gotten more than a foot. Things were pretty windy yesterday and the day before, but today seems like it's a bit more calm. But you know, I wouldn't say it's as bad as it as I've seen it. You know, I've lived here my whole life, so I think it could have been worse. But you know, the roads are pretty messy. I won't lie about that, because I live right next to one of the county highways, and you know, I think the plows are putting their work in.
Well, you guys are technically out of the blizzard warning. It's moved to the east, so that's got to be good news. But what is it like with closures and things still in the area? Because you're under the hazardous weather outlook at this point.
Yep. I think around noon yesterday, all of the schools decided to close today. I've seen a couple businesses, but not many of them have closed. But all of the schools that I've seen within the county, surrounding areas, they've closed for today.
Now, you mentioned living in the area most of your life, Maddie. I'm going to ask you the same thing we asked Todd. How long does it usually take the Hayward area? Because you guys love your winter weather, right? Because you guys love snowmobiling, you love the skiing, all of that. But how long does it traditionally take that area to clean up after a storm like this?
I'd say maybe a day or two. Wow. One day they'll clean up, and it might be a little messy the next day, but by day two it's usually in better shape, especially if we get warmer weather and things start to melt. But We'll see. The roads are pretty packed right now with snow, so we'll see how many days it'll take.
Besides the schools, how were the businesses affected? Were there a lot of closures for today in that area too?
I don't think so. I saw only a few in town, but it seems like everything, restaurants and stores, seem to be open for the most part.
Well, they're hearty good folk deal. Up there, Brian.
I know. Listen,
they're
that's
used
the thing.
To this.
But even people who are used to these kind of storms, blizzard is a whole different thing. Because it's the snow. Everybody in those areas, they've got the equipment. The towns are ready to clean up. But it's when the winds and everything mm-hmm. combines to create a blizzard that it's like, oh no, this is not going as well as we hoped.
Did you guys get that wind on Friday, Maddie, as the first round of the storm came through and we had those gusts? Because I know a lot of people in the northern part of the state, there were a lot of power outages before the snow portion of the storm. So were you guys affected by those winds on Friday?
I don't think so. I don't think it really started till late Saturday night is when, you know, the snow started falling and when we got heavy winds. You know, I'd say it was regular winds for the north part, the north woods. But, everything started to seem to unfold Saturday night and early Sunday morning. So,
all right.
And what's the outlook for the rest of for today and tomorrow? About the same?
I mean, I don't think we're going to get any snow. It's not snowing now. And the wind seems to have died down. So we might be in the calm now.
All right.
Well, very nice.
Hopefully that starts trickling this way because Madison is not right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I know the people more northeast seem to got hit really hard. So I feel like we lucked out right in the North Woods. We lucked out a little bit this time.
Well, there you go. But you still got enough to keep everything active up there for all the winter enthusiasts. Maddie, always good to talk to you.
Thanks
for jumping on this morning. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks. Bye, guys.
Have a good day. Oh, my goodness.
Hayward is under that hazardous weather outlook. And, you know, still some blowing snow continuing today. Another round of snow coming Tuesday afternoon for that area. And accumulations of another 1 to 3 inches for the Hayward area.
Yeah, and I want to make sure, too, for folks in Madison, if in this general area in the southern part of the state, we did get some freezing rain yesterday, some grapple, some sleet. So underneath the snow that is falling right now, we do have ice. So as you're out and about this morning, please keep that in mind and slow down. Give yourself some extra time. If you are somebody who doesn't have the luxury of staying home today, working or being at home with the kids, just make sure that you're taking some extra time because those winds are brutal. The visibility is low this morning, and then you've got the ice underneath. So it's definitely making a difference out there, Brian.
Yeah, and about two-thirds of the state still under that blizzard warning until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And it's just, it's moving. The system is moving, and then it's going to get cold. But cold we can deal with. Blizzards are another thing. And again, the National Weather Service and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation urging you to be careful if you do have to leave. Travel should be restricted to emergencies only. And they say if you must travel, have a winter survival kit with you. Yeah. So if you get stranded, stay with your car. And you can always call 511 to get the latest
and
road conditions.
Check those roads because there are some road closures in the east and northern part of the state up in the Appleton-Oshkosh area and beyond. 7:19 right now. You're listening to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
Swapper Stay is next. I'm Brian Noonan on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
7:22 right now. We hope that you are having a great Monday morning, staying safe with the weather as well. You are listening to Daybreak, and it's time where we get to not talk about politics for a little bit. Our producer, Frank, is going to join us. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm nice and cozy inside. So,
are you ready to swipe and or stay?
I am ready to swipe and or stay. Hopefully we stay because I think we've got some good ones.
Ooh, we're excited.
Don't try to influence the plan.
I'm just saying.
That's tampering, right, Frank.
No, I'm building.
I'm looking up the official swipe or stay rules.
There aren't any.
Oh, I was just going to say, do we actually have rules?
I am judge, I am jury, I am executioner.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Well, kill this bit.
Well, I feel like I want to give the right answer now.
I think you should.
Okay.
I feel no pressure. Go ahead.
Swipers say, I'm going to give some vague pop culture headlines. Brian and Jamie will have to decide whether they want to stay on the story or swipe on to the next one. In the event of a tie, Parker will be our tiebreaker as always. Let's move on to story number one. So leaked audio reveals celebrity Hollywood smear campaign.
Ooh, I think I know this. I'm going to stay.
I love intrigue. I'm staying.
I'm glad we're staying on this one because I woke up. Let me tell you something. I had to look up because I saw it over the weekend. I had to look at like multiple different entertainment news websites because I could not believe the headline.
Wow.
Oh.
All right.
So
spill.
So, yeah, tell us.
We have leaked audio from Rebel Wilson, the actress, her PR team, discussing how they're going to drag a producer's name through the mud.
Oh.
Rebel Wilson's crisis public relations team discussed plans to create anonymous websites that accuse the producer of The Deb of sex trafficking as part of an alleged smear campaign solicited by Rebel Wilson. We have the audio.
So basically what we need to do is we need to create a path where we expose Amanda Ghost as like the new Heidi Fleiss. Like she masquerades as the reason why she sucks so bad at music is because she's actually getting hookers for Vlotnik, right? And that's what she does. She's an absolute madam, and that's why she's so lethal, blah blah blah.
Oh my god.
This was an official meeting.
And none of this is true, correct? This is all alleged?
No, this is all fabricated.
All fabricated.
Because
okay.
He goes on to say we can't just say something like she's mean or she's evil. We have to go farther. We have to do something heavier.
Do we know why they're targeting this woman?
I'm not sure on the specifics of why. I was more focused on
the story.
I get it.
Happened. Wow.
Well, Rebel Wilson has fallen off the radar, so I guess we got to get her back on the radar somehow.
So she's denied any involvement in the creation of the smear campaign.
Well, yeah. Is that right? Okay, good for her.
So Camille Vasquez, if you remember the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, Camille Vasquez was in the media because she was a big part of it for Johnny Depp's defense team. So she's representing the producer that's being accused. She said, "We have long suspected that Rebel Wilson not only contributed to the malicious sites, but that she was the driving force behind them. The evidence we have submitted to the court in California supports that conclusion."
Whoa.
Cannot wait for updates on this one.
I'm glad we stayed.
Oh, me too.
And are like, you know that this probably happened.
Yeah.
We have actual audio confirming that this stuff goes on in Hollywood is insane to me.
That is insane. Yeah,
it's a nasty business.
Oh, my goodness.
See, Brian, I told you we had good stuff today.
You're one for one.
All
right,
let's go.
Here we go.
A politician security guard gunned down by police officers.
I know this one. Stay.
I don't know this one. I'm staying.
Yeah, this is scary.
A member of Jasmine Crockett's congressional security detail was gunned down this weekend during a standoff with police officers in Texas. So Mike King ran inside a hospital parking garage and then barricaded himself inside a vehicle while being pursued by SWAT officers. They tear gassed King, prompting him to jump out of the vehicle and pull a gun before he was shot by the police. Law enforcement sources say that King was wanted for impersonating law enforcement while running a platform online, Off-Duty Police Services, which finds off-duty gigs for North Texas cops.
Wait, so how did he get on Jasmine Crockett's security detail then? I have a lot of questions.
That's
your
great.
Stories are very good.
There's more questions.
There's so many questions.
I need Harvey Levin on this.
Right.
With his big cup.
All right, two for two, Frank. All right, let's go.
I told you, it's wild. Wow. And we're still waiting on details for both of these stories.
Okay.
We just hit them.
All right. I got it.
All right, man. Comedian's tour bus burns down.
Oh.
Ryan, is this at home?
This is quite the
No, array. I just...
Stay. I'm going to stay.
Yeah, what the heck? Let's stay.
So the comedian Bert Kreischer, also known as The Machine, had some travel issues this past weekend in North Dakota, of all places, Jamie.
Wow.
Okay.
Did they burn it on purpose?
One of his tires blew out and tore off the rim. So the bus pulled over along the highway during a snowstorm. The group waited a couple hours to arrange a replacement tire. None could be delivered overnight, so Kreischer and other people on the bus continued to Cedar Rapids on two separate buses. The disabled bus and the driver stayed behind waiting for help. At 11 a.m. yesterday, the driver was sitting inside the bus waiting for the tire delivery. He heard a loud popping sound coming from the front roof area. Within seconds, the vehicle was filled with smoke
and
completely burned down. And they don't know exactly why.
I just love how glamorous his life is. North Dakota to Cedar Rapids. Ooh.
Listen, you know, for the money he's pulling in at these arena shows, I'm sure his bus is high end.
Wow.
Man, we went 3 for 3, guys. I can't even go on to the next one because I'm getting the countdown from
Park. No, we got to go. That was stellar.
That was
stellar
some good
job.
Stuff today. Wow. Yeah. It is 7:29 right now. Another edition of Swipe or Stay. Always one of our favorite parts of the morning. Thank you so much, Frank. You are listening to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Hey, states are suing Trump again. Shocker. What about this time? We'll find out next on the City.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. If you're in Richland Center listening on WRCE or in La Crosse on WLCX or even in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR, thank you so much for being here today. And just a little housekeeping this morning, Brian. Quick reminder that at 8 o'clock, if you are listening on WMDX in Madison, you are going to be going to the Stephanie Miller Show. Anybody else gets to stay with us here on Daybreak. And couple reasons then why you should probably go get your Civic Media app, which means you can stay with us if you want by listening on the app, or right now you actually have a chance to qualify for some really great prizes in our first day of a brand new text to win contest. That's right, use your Civic Media app, text us a word, and I don't know, $200 in cash as a daily prize, or a mattress set from Verlo, a $1,300 value. Not bad. So Brian, how should people enter?
Well, it's easy. The word for this hour is early, E-A-R-L-Y, early. And if you text that word in, you will be entered to win. It's a multi-state text-to-win contest. All the Civic Media stations are participating, but you have a chance to win, as Jamie said, $200 a day, and then you are entered for a chance to win the grand prize, over $1,300 for a new mattress set from Verlo. The word for this hour, again, is early, E-A-R-L-Y, early. Just like, man, it's way too early to be trying to win a contest. But no, it's not. Winning is always the best. So there you go.
Yep.
And be paying attention to your favorite Civic station throughout the day. The words will change.
Yep.
You will get another chance to win. So stick with us, and we'll do this every day for 2 weeks.
We will.
Two whole weeks.
Yes, and we're so glad that you're entering to win. Lots of you trying this morning, so we're glad to see that. Also, a little reminder that not only should you get that app, you should also go follow us on social media over on our Facebook page, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. We're also on Instagram now as well. So lots of ways for you to keep connected, not just listening to the radio, but the news. The news does continue, Brian, and we have more.
Let's continue, even though it's early, E-A-R-L-Y.
Ooh, I like how you slipped that in there.
Thank you. Oh, boy. Sometimes I know what I'm doing, or I at least appear to know what I'm doing.
Well, it seemed to work. Look at the people texting.
It did. Bang, bang, bang. Good luck to everybody who's entering. So, once again, Wisconsin is involved in a multi-state lawsuit against the Trump administration. New day, new lawsuit. New lawsuit, who dis? Well, this one is over a federal rule requiring colleges to report detailed admissions data on individual students. This is unbelievable overreach. The rule would require schools to report information including race, gender, test scores, financial aid, and admissions decision through a new system called the Admissions and Consumer Transparency Supplement, the ACTS. Why would we need something like this? Because if we have, and you know, if you or your children have federal student loans, they already have all your information.
Mm-hmm.
Your information's there. And who cares what my test scores were to get into? Why does the federal government need to know my test scores or my? And they already know our race and gender because, you know, we have Social Security numbers and we have birth certificates and all that stuff.
Right. And the reporting requirement expands an existing federal database called the Integrated Post-Secondary Education Data System, the IPEDS, which has collected higher education data like enrollment.
Horrible acronym for
it's
this administration.
It's a horrible acronym.
IPEDS? Oh, you are? Well, come over here. We need to talk to you for a little bit.
It has collected higher education data like enrollment, graduation rates, and financial aid for about 40 years. Now, this administration says that the new data is needed to ensure colleges are following the 2023 Supreme Court ruling that banned race-based admissions. President Trump previously, though, directed the Department of Education to use IPEDS data to monitor whether colleges are still considering race in admissions decisions. This administration, this is not about transparency and making sure colleges are following Supreme Court rulings. This, let's be honest for a minute. This administration. This administration has a pattern that we've been seeing for quite some time now. Early on, they made it clear that they wanted to roll back diversity, equality, and inclusion policies on college campuses all across the country. So we've watched schools be pressured into eliminating all of these DEI programs. Diversity offices have shut down, policies have been rewritten, and this is the latest move that they are trying to implement. So this is not exactly surprising that we're seeing this play out, at least not to me. I guess if you're shocked by this, you haven't been paying attention to some of the programs that this Department of Education has been rolling back and has been taking away from not only universities and colleges, but also from businesses, saying that businesses don't need to adhere to these things as well. This is not shocking.
It's not shocking, and it is part of this whole anti-woke, anti-DEI, and it's they forget why these programs have to exist in the first place, not only for race, but for gender. And if you are naive enough to think that none of those problems still exist, you're not paying attention, or most likely you're not part of an affected group. Like, I'm an older white guy. I pretty much get to do whatever I want. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and daughter, well, Jamie, you were in that group. Maybe not so much. You know, they're not making a lot of laws that really restrict me. I can probably find a job if I'm a white guy. But a lot of disgruntled white guys who couldn't find jobs got very angry because they perceived that people of color or women, God forbid, a woman of color, would get a job over them. Doesn't matter if they're qualified or not. The fact that there was a quota.
Mm-hmm.
That's what upset them. Well, was I even considered? Yeah, you were considered. And we went with this person because we want to have, I don't know, a variety of opinions, a variety of backgrounds to make our business a little more well-rounded and a little more effective in the marketplace, because a conference room full of old white guys is not going to be able to really relate to anybody else in the world except other old white guys.
I'm just trying to figure out the ego that has to be so fragile that it can't accept these rules. Like, that's where my mind always goes. Like, you have to be very not confident in your own abilities, or you have to really think that you were not a good hire, or that you were actually not hired because of these rules, in order to think that these are not good. But this,
well, I think it's an inflated self-importance. I was the best. why did they get this over me? It has to be the only way I could have lost out on this job is because some government program said that that woman had to get hired, or that Hispanic person had to get hired, or that black person had to. It couldn't be because
maybe you're just not qualified.
Right. Well, Jamie, that's not happening. That is not happening at all.
Maybe you just weren't as qualified. Who knows?
Nah.
But this
impossible.
This 17-state coalition is being led by Massachusetts, and they are arguing that this new rule threatens student privacy and places major reporting burdens on colleges and universities. In fact, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said that the administration rushed this policy forward to push an ideological agenda without really fully considering any sort of privacy risks or the difficulty schools will face collecting this data. This administration be in a hurry to push something through? Who would have
Without
thought?
Without thinking it through all the way? I'm surprised they don't just drop bombs on universities, too. We didn't realize that wasn't cool.
Right? So this lawsuit also claims the rule would turn a longstanding statistical reporting system into a tool for law enforcement and political enforcement of admission policies. Yes. Now, colleges were expected to start reporting this new data this year, with the first submissions due March 18th. Well, chop, chop. You only got a couple of days. That gave schools only months to gather the information that may take years to properly compile.
Does it sound like Doge to you?
It sounds a little like Doge, and does it sound like there is a specific student in mind that this administration might be targeting just a little bit to get that information about?
I think so. I would imagine perhaps they are they bear a resemblance to maybe people that we're at war with now, or they come from that area, or they worship differently. Or perhaps they are descended from a country and a people that are at odds with one of our remaining allies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, if you look at universities like here in Wisconsin, right, this is going to be a huge burden because schools have to gather. They have to report all this detailed information. It's going to be such a tight turnaround. And it only makes me wonder if this administration, though, will use that sort of tight deadline for some sort of funding retribution if the schools don't stick to that timeline, right?
Because they've done it already for different things.
Yes. And for students, especially students who are black, brown, maybe female, come from lower income families, this is more than just a paperwork time crunch kind of problem, right? This is another way to limit opportunities and essentially make it harder for those students to get their shot at higher education. And college is a pathway to opportunity for so many. And again, it can look different for everybody. It can be everything from a two-year school to apprenticeships, whatever is the right path for those students. But when policies keep targeting programs that are meant to expand access, really, who is getting the opportunity and who is in charge of making that decision? Is it going to be this administration? Will schools continue to lose funding because they're not playing by the same rules that the administration wants them to? That's where my mind keeps going in a move like this.
Well, it's the answer again seems obvious. Yes, it will become a way for them to defund more programs and defund some of these schools because you didn't do what we told you, and now this is the price you're going to have to pay. And I know none of us operate under the illusion that we have complete privacy. We know things are listening. We know we're being watched by cameras wherever we go. We know all of that. But we seem to have become okay with just giving up more and more of that privacy, and this is another step in that direction. You know, we can all say, "Oh, well, our phone listens to us," and things. I understand. I'm not naive. If you have an iPass or something on your car for the tolls, they know where you are. They can, and that's not paranoia. It's just true. But at some point, you have to stop and go, "Wait, why am I giving up my privacy in this instance?" And you make good points about all the reasons why we should be wary of giving up our privacy in this instance or giving up your students' privacy in this instance.
It's really hard to trust this administration based on their actions and their rhetoric and things that we have seen them try to do already. Now, in case you're wondering, too, this isn't just the public universities. Private universities and colleges will also be affected mm-hmm. by this. They will also be made to comply because any school participating in federal student aid programs must report through this IPEDS program. And
I wish they would just call it UPEDS because I don't want to identify.
Right. Now, since that 2023 Supreme Court ruling, early data shows that Black student enrollment has dropped at several highly selective universities. At Harvard, for instance, Black freshman enrollment fell from 18% to under 12% in just one admission cycle. So don't think there's a reason for this.
Tom's texting in about school closings. All the schools are closed in Madison. Most schools are closed across the state. Tom, welcome to the blizzard. Yes, all the schools are closed.
Yes. It is 7:48 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Tom Tiffany. Oh, boy. He's back in the news.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. And Brian, for the first round of Text to Win, we're down to about 8 minutes for you to qualify for daily prizes and a grand prize. So get your Civic Media app ready because the word is early this hour. E-A-R-L-Y, and some really great prizes that you're qualifying for if you, you know, happen to be the winner.
You could win $200 a day for the entire 2 week. You would win. We're giving $200 a day away for 2 weeks, and then you are so when you text in, you're qualified for that, and then you are. We are giving away one grand prize, which is a new mattress set from Verlo. You get the queen mattress, you get some sheets, you get a mattress protector, and you get some active dough pillows. That's over $1,300 worth of prize, and that is for our grand prize winner in this multi-state text to win contest. So you have about, like Jamie said, you have about 6 minutes to get in for this hour and then be listening all day because they change the word every couple hours. Early, E-A-R-L-Y. You have to use the Civic Media app. If you don't, you won't get, when you use the app, you'll get a little notification. Hey, you're entered to win. Mm-hmm. If you don't use the app, it doesn't count. You're not going to get,
right.
And make sure you spell it right.
Yes. And
yes. Spell it right.
Yes. Because high-tech systems around here, it won't take your entry if it's not spelled right.
We don't
want
to hear you whining if you spelled it wrong, because we spelled it for you. Early, E-A-R-L-Y.
Yes,
early.
Absolutely. So again, until
which
8
is
o'clock.
How you vote by mail. Unless you're Tom Tiffany. He doesn't want us voting by mail anymore. A new report says Tiffany wants to eliminate most mail-in voting here in Wisconsin. He said on a podcast, nothing good comes out of podcasts, unless you're listening to our podcast on the Civic Media app.
Like, this is true.
How I did that.
That was good.
He doesn't believe mail-in voting should be allowed except for members of the military. Well, too bad, I say to Tom Tiffany.
Yeah, let's hear what he had to say. This is cut four.
I don't believe we should be doing mail-in voting. I believe now for our service members, yes, you have to have a means for them to be able to vote. But you really have to have tight controls around it in order to make sure that you don't have dishonest voting that is going on.
There's no dishonest voting going on. That's
what about the vote dumps, Jamie? What about those? There's
none of those. Dump. None of those things are real. They've all been debunked. They've all been taken through courts. It's all been debunked. Now, Tom Tiffany's position on this, though, would affect hundreds of thousands of Wisconsin voters who rely on absentee and mail-in ballots. In fact, in the 2024 election, presidential election, Brian, more than 1.5 million Wisconsinites voted absentee, including about 600,000 who mailed in their ballots. And This is so hypocritical because records show that Tom Tiffany himself has voted absentee 12 times since 2016. There's a little thing like records and facts that people can actually check. And I know they're pesky, but they're there for a reason.
Yeah. That sucks when you get caught like that, doesn't it, Tom? I don't do it. You do it. Yeah, but that's me. I'm running for governor. I can do what I want.
Now, to be fair to Tom, it is unclear whether those ballots were mailed in or cast in person at a local clerk's office, but absentee voting is still the same system that he wants to restrict. So any way you look at it, it's hypocritical.
If you fill out your ballot and drop it off, whether it's at the post office or you go to an early voting box, it's the same deal. You're still absentee voting. The only way you're not is if you show up at your polling place and, you know, you cast your ballot right there. So absentee is absentee.
Yes.
And I have no problem with absentee voting because it works. It works for people that need it.
Yes.
It's nice to have the luxury of not having to worry on election day that you can get to the polls. But early voting and absentee voting, The only time it's a problem is when you think you're going to lose.
Right. Absolutely.
When you're confident, you don't really worry about it.
I mean, if you think about it, elderly voters use mail-in or absentee ballots. People with disabilities. You think about parents who are juggling work and kids. People working overnight shifts, maybe long hours, who can't get to the polls as easily on the day of the election. Because let's be real, in this country, we also make it really difficult to get to the polls, and you've got to stand there all day. Other countries, by the way, make it a national holiday and do it on the weekends. Here in the United States, we make it as inconvenient as possible. Mail-in voting essentially makes sure that all of our voices are heard. Even Tom Tiffany's, who says that he opposes all of this, his voice is also heard in that process. Now, if you restrict mail-in voting, it would make it harder for so many people to participate in the democratic process. And I know that's the point of all of this.
We have a winner.
It's the point of all of this. And it is so infuriating because healthy democracies encourage voting. They don't put up barriers to stop them. And the current GOP in the state that they are only wants to make it more difficult because, as you rightly pointed out, they are so scared that they're going to lose if people are actually allowed to vote in a way that suits them and is completely safe. That's what this amounts to.
And it doesn't matter how many times you say or we say or anybody says nothing has ever been proven. There's no irregularities. The 2020 election has been litigated and relitigated and relitigated again. And no investigations into the 2024 election because, well, it came out the way they wanted. So in order to keep only, and this is a quote from the former head of the DHS, the right people voting, they are doing everything possible they can. And it won't work.
Right.
Because sooner or later, enough of us are going to stand up and say, no, that's not how this works. Your job is not guaranteed. And we have the right. You work for us and we have the right to hire and fire you at will. And you can't stop us from that. I wouldn't mind that national holiday, especially on a Saturday.
Right. Wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be so much easier. Think of the people who'd show up then. Tom would be so scared. It's 7:59 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. More to come on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.